First of all, thank you all for being patient with my absence. I know videos, been watching videos, but videos are okay. And once again, y'all, I feel, and I'm also talking to those that are watching by internet, I feel videos do good for information, but they don't do good for relationships and for being relational. And I believe every time I teach this class, I've taught this class for about 4 or 5 years now, Spirit Life Training. And every time I teach this class, it comes out a little bit different. And the reason why it comes out different is because of the people who are sitting there. Because we're dealing with different issues, we need different insight. So I firmly believe that that those things, that when we come here together, the Holy Spirit is here with us. If you would turn with me to, let me get my notes real quick. Tonight we're going to talk about imagination. And in talking about imagination, we'll learn how to properly use our imagination, how effective our imagination can be, what can we use our imagination for, so on and so forth. Turn with me to Hebrews 11 and 1. Your imagination is, believe it or not, your imagination is the starting point from which God's word comes off the pages into your life. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The thing I want to focus on is hoped for. Hoped for is plans, some future goals. Listen to me, internet, something you have for the future. Now, none of us can go into the future, but our imaginations can. So without our imagination, it's hard for our faith to be jump-started. Your imagination is a powerful tool. Without our imagination, we cannot even begin to even sniff the spirit world. Your imagination is the very thing that starts you on your faith journey. Words creates pictures. Pictures give you something to focus on. What you focus on expands. So we have to properly learn to use our imagination. It was Jacob. Remember those cows? You remember that? Those cows, he worked for Laban. And I think it went how Laban said, Jacob said, all the spotted ones I keep, all the solid color ones you keep. He took some reeds, put it in the water, and created spots. Those cattle looked at it, and what happened? They became spotted. They started having spotted babies, right? That's all a part of imagination. He gave them a picture to look at. Once he gave them a picture to look at, the supernatural took over. Hope you listen to that, internet. The supernatural took over. We have to learn to let our imagination start us on the process, and then let us go into the supernatural. Go to Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua, the sixth chapter, I'm sorry. Go to Joshua, sixth chapter. Now your imagination will run off too. Your imagination will run off. So you have to control your imagination. It'll run off. It'll start it. You know what your imagination is real good at? Picking up drama. And it's good at, your imagination is good at picking up drama and carrying out a conversation you never had with somebody you don't like. You play it in your mind how this conversation is going to go. That's imagination. And so now in your mind, you done got it all planned out how this is going to go. Then you go try to act up on it. And it don't quite work out like that. That was your imagination running away, got you in trouble. But we can use that same, if we can harness that same ability and power, we can use it to advance our lives in the kingdom. Joshua, the sixth chapter. God says something to Joshua in the sixth chapter. Let's see. Verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, what he said unto Joshua? See. See, I have given into thine hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Stop right there. Don't go to verse 3. Don't go to verse 3 yet. Because verse 2 gave him instructions to what? See. Verse 2, God is telling him, I need you to sit down and imagine. That's what see means. Sit down and imagine. Watch what he say. See, I have given into thy hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. He didn't tell Joshua how he was going to do it. He told Joshua, I need you to see. If Joshua had not been able to see, he'd never got to the third verse. See, instructions never precede imagination. If you don't believe it can happen, then what's the use in giving you instructions? What's the use in telling you, listen to me today, what's the use in giving you instructions to bring it to pass if you don't believe it can come to pass? That's why your imagination, this is why you have to guard your thoughts. You have to guard what's coming in your mind, guard what you hear. Because you have to create a picture. If you can't create a picture, there's no sense in giving you instructions on how to make the picture come to pass. God told Joshua, see, now go back to the first chapter. This is very important. It leads me to my next point. Go to the first chapter of Joshua. With your imagination, you have to, number one, drain it. That means take out all the bad stuff. All the stuff you use your imagination for. That wasn't benefiting you. You may be imagining, I don't know, immoral stuff. you have to drain all that out. Hold your finger in Joshua 1, because we're going to come back there. Go to 2 Corinthians 10, very familiar scripture. Second Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when obedience is fulfilled. Casting down all imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So you have to drain your imagination of everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Give you a prime example. Your imagination can tell you you can't do something when God says you can. You have to drain that and allow, because why? That thought is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. So I have to get rid of that. See, this is not rocket science. But the reason why this is hard, and the reason why some people don't accomplish this, is because the mind is such a vast playing field that Satan could be hiding on one side of your soul, you're on the other, and you don't know he's on the other side. He could be hiding somewhere, and you hadn't figured it out yet. So the way you be able to find out where is Satan hiding it in your soul, because that's where he wants to reside. He can't get to your spirit. He don't need to get to your flesh, because if he can get to your soul, he can control everything else. So Satan is constantly trying to access your soul. So one of the places he tried to access your soul is your imagination. So that's why he gives you frivolous, sometimes you walk up on frivolous things or hear frivolous things that occupy your imagination. Stuff just don't make no sense. That's one of the things I hate about overplaying. Most of us don't do this, but for the young people, overplaying video games, that leads them into an imaginary world that leads to nothing. It's causing them to live a virtual reality life that has no fruit. So many kids can't even hold a decent conversation because they're letting somebody else occupy their imagination. So Satan could be hiding, and we have to find. So very familiar, Romans 12 and 1, then we get to Joshua, because these about to connect. See, this is nothing super spiritual. This just spiritual. This ain't all deep. This is 1, 2, 3, how we made. We have to control our imagination. We have to control what we think. Because if we don't have the right picture, we will not receive the right instructions. Watch this. Romans, the 12th chapter. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. What it means to be not conformed to this world? I can't take the shape of this world system. Other words, watch this. There are pressures that's trying to make me fit in. But I cannot allow that to happen. How do I stop that from happening? I stop the pressures from the outside from trying to make me be who it wants me to be, to becoming who God wants me to be by renewing your mind. Renewing your mind is a constant thing over and over, because throughout the day, because we come into contact with different people, different situations, different environments, our mind is being shaped. So every morning, sometimes every afternoon, every minute, we have to allow the Word of God to reshape our thoughts. This is what it means to drain. Drain means your mind can't hold good and bad at the same time. So I have to keep putting good in so it can force the bad out. Now watch this. This is something I want you to see this in the scripture that a lot of people miss in Romans 12 and 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a reason for this, that ye may be able to what? Prove. Another word for prove in that particular situation is recognize the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Most people can't recognize God's voice, can't recognize God's presence, can't recognize God's instruction because their imagination is jacked up. If I don't know, watch this now, talk about presence, talk about being in the face of God, being in the face of God, being in the face of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can describe Dante to me all day long. You can tell me where he lived. Talking about Dante right here. You can tell me where he lived. You can tell me how old he is. You can tell me all the information about Dante. But if I have never seen Dante, if I've never seen him, I will not be able to recognize him. Why I won't be able to recognize him? Dante, how old are you? There are other 31-year-old men. Whatever your address is, there's other men that live on that address, live around that address, around that street, live around that area. So until I'm able to put a name with a face and recognize him, I can't pick him out. So what am I saying? There are instructions all around you. There are opinions all around you. But if you do not spend time with God face to face, you will not be able to recognize him. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion of what you should be doing, giving you instruction. Everybody has their own wisdom about how to handle the situation, how to take care of this, how to do this. But if you do not spend time with God, you will not be able to recognize the truth. You will not be able to recognize instruction from God. Here's the beautiful thing about God. People don't understand this. God is not a mysterious God. But he does things in a mystery, yes, so that those who really want it will go after him. Yes. If you don't really want it, you won't go after him, so you'll never find out. So that's why Jesus spoke in parables. Yes. Because only those that was really after him would understand what he was saying. Yes. God works the same way. That's how Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross was a mystery. Satan didn't know who Jesus was. He spent the whole 33 years Jesus here looking for Jesus. Didn't know who he was. Didn't know who Jesus was until Jesus showed up on his doorstep and took all the power from him. God is not a mysterious God. He does things in a mystery for those who want to search and dig deep. So I said all to say this. If you don't spend time with God, you won't be able to recognize his instructions, because his instructions not coming one way. If his instructions came one way, anybody can get there. If his instructions came one way and one way only, everybody would have access to it. But only those that are willing to spend time with him face to face will be able to recognize God's instructions when they come. The reason why you're able to recognize God's instructions when they come is because you've allowed his word to shape your thought process, shape your imagination. Go to Joshua 1. Verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give them to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, until the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God telling Joshua all this, right? Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Wait a minute. God told him all he's going to give him. Then he say, don't turn from the law that Moses gave him. All right, watch this. This is the important point. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book, what book? The book Moses commanded him, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua was prepared to see. He was prepared to see because he meditated on God's word that came through Moses. If Joshua would have turned from the left or to the right, when God did come to him and say, I'm going to give you Jericho, but I need you to see it, he wouldn't be able to have the proper imagination to see it, number one, and then recognize the right instructions. Because I'm sure No doubt about it. I am sure that other people in that group had their opinion of how they gonna get this land. Every time you face a situation, listen to me, internet. Every time you face a situation in your life, everybody around you gonna have an opinion. But my question is, which one of them is God's opinion? No. You have to be able to recognize it. Mm-hmm. It may come from them, may not come from them. John 10. John 10. He says in John 10, Jesus said, Jesus written in red, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep, those that follow me, hear my voice. How do they hear my voice? Because they follow me. You can't follow somebody you can't see. In other words, you can't follow somebody you don't spend time with. Jesus said, people that follow me can hear my voice because they spend time with me. They're my sheep. I spend time with them. They spend time with me so they can hear my voice. So the word of God has been given to us, and we are so blessed. This is what I'm about to say. We are so blessed because we have over 66 books. We have 66 books in the Bible that helps our imagination. We have 66 books in the Bible that helps to shape our imagination, gives us pictures. We've seen God do this before. We've seen God do this way. We've seen God do that way. It gives us help in shaping our imagination. So when we shape our imagination, it gives God the ability and the right to give us the right instructions to follow. Because if I don't believe, ain't no sense in giving me instructions because I'm not going to do what I don't believe. Believe, another strong word for believe is convinced. If I'm not convinced, Mark 9:23, if I'm not convinced, then ain't no sense us going no further. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Jesus said, if you can believe, if you can be convinced. That's what he's saying. If you can be convinced, then all things are possible to those that are convinced. So that means you got to look your situation in the face and see something different. How do I do that? I do it with my imagination. I do it with the eye of my mind. I can be facing a certain situation, look one way. I have to begin in my imagination to see it another way. When I begin to see it another way, I become fully persuaded. When I become fully persuaded, that's when I can receive the instructions on what to do. Is this making sense? See, most people don't, they say they're walking in faith, but don't believe. You can't walk in faith, because really, faith, a lot of people like to relegate faith to just believing. Faith is not just believing. Faith is believing and doing something. Faith is believing and doing something. Believing is just half of it. You got to do something. The Bible says faith without works is what? Faith without works is dead. So so that's why people do all this faith, all this foolishness, calling it faith. They believe they do something out of the ordinary, something gonna just happen. No, you got to be first convinced. Watch what Jesus told this man with his son. And straightway the father of the child cried out. Now this is what we need to do sometimes. But because we're so super spiritual, we gonna do this ourselves. This man cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When you cry that out, you're letting God know that you're incapable of doing this on your own. And God will begin to shape your imagination so that the instructions can soon follow. Are you seeing this? Your imagination is a very powerful thing. You have to first drain it. Here's what the problem is. Then you got to train it. You got to train your imagination. That's where meditation comes in at. You have to train your imagination on what to think, what to imagine. Because if you don't train it, it's going to wander off. I don't mind you daydreaming, just daydream about the right stuff. I don't mind it at all. I don't mind daydreaming, just daydream about the right stuff. Then after you drain it, you train it, then you have to let it expand. You have to let it go beyond what you are currently familiar with. I'm reading a book. Oh, I can't think of the name of this book now. And the guy said, in the book, he was like, he said, whatever you want to do, he called it the times 10 rule. Whatever you want to do, multiply it times 10. He said, now when you multiply it times 10, don't try to figure out how it's going to happen. Don't worry about how it's going to happen. Just multiply it by 10. Multiply it by 10. You understand? Don't try to figure out how it's going to happen. Just multiply it by 10. And whatever that number is, say, that's what I'm going to do. Are you going to do it? Mm-hmm. But are you not going to do it? Mm-hmm. See, not doing it has just as great a chance of you as not doing it. The only thing holding us back is we haven't imagined to do it. So if I haven't imagined to do it, how am I ever going to receive the instruction to accomplish it? If I never put it out there, if I stay only with my familiar surroundings, this is why Apostle tells us all the time, he said, whatever neighborhood you want to live in, go ride in it. I never forget, man, we'd be going to Florida for vacation sometimes. This is before they built the house that they're in now. This is over. Oh, they've been in the house. Gotta be 25 years. They've been in the house 25 years now. Before they even built that house, we would be going to Florida, and that's when they started seeing the houses with the closed-in screens on the back. We're from Louisiana. Man, we ain't never saw no stuff like that. You know, a screen on the back is a porch on the back with that green tent lean-to. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That green. So people not know about this up north, but we know down south that green tent where it blocked the sun out, but everything underneath green. I mean, we knew about that. We ain't know about no enclosed screens where the bugs can't get to you. We don't know about that. But we went to Florida. There was a gated community. I'll never forget. There's a gated community that we were passing by. My parents saw the houses in there from outside. Saw the houses. And just having the car in front of us was turning in, hit the button, boop, 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 gates open. And them gates stayed open enough to where we can get back there. And they begin to look and see, and they begin to talk about how, that's a nice house. That's a nice house. Ooh, that's a nice house. Forget if you can get it. You already know you can't. At this present moment, you already know you can't. But you never know if you can if you don't ever get a picture. There's no reason to go somewhere if you've never seen it. No. Joshua would have never had the opportunity to see those walls of Jericho fall if he had not taken the word of God through Moses and meditated on it to create a picture of the promised land. As a matter of fact, I'll take even one better than that. Joshua and Caleb was the only one to go into the promised land and come back with a favorable outcome. So Joshua was, it was easy for Joshua to see. Why? Because Joshua had already been exposed. Joshua got behind somebody, boop, 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 hit the code, and he ran in. whatever it may be, I want 30 clients multiplied by 10. Now that means that's 300. Will you get 300? Mm-hmm. Do you have 300 now? Mm-mm. No. So whether you get them or not, right now you're in the same position. But what if? What if? What if? And see, it's the what if is the impossible. But if we don't allow the what if to occupy our imagination, then we can't get the instructions to accomplish the what ifs. Is this making sense?
Yes,
sir. So, you know, whatever, Lord, my dream, I just want a 2,500 square foot house. Okay, multiply it by 10. Will you get a 25,000 square foot house? Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you shoot for 25 and you get a 7, I mean, you ain't doing too bad. You know, you shoot for 300 clients, but you only get 100. Do you see if God gave us our imagination so that we can have an entryway into the impossible realm?
Yes.
Our imagination gives us an avenue to the realm of impossibilities. Because if I see, thank you, Holy Spirit. Your imagination gives you an opportunity to put your foot in the door of impossibility. I ain't worried about getting through the door of impossibility. Just let me get my foot there. If I get my foot there, then the God of impossibility make things possible for me.
Yes.
See, forget how. Go to Mark. See, that's what we put the cart before the horse. You ever heard that? Y'all heard that saying? We put the cart before the horse. We put the how before we know what. Know what first. Then we can get to the how later. Mark 4. I'm going to close here. Mark 4. Verse 26, and so is the kingdom of God. Jesus talking, it's in red, right? And my Bible is red. Your Bible is red?
Yes,
Jesus talking, right? He says, so is the kingdom of God. In other words, the kingdom of God works like this. If a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up. What's that last phrase? He knoweth not how. He knoweth not how. How is not our business. Knowing what is. You knowing what is. So if you don't ever sow that, allow those seeds to be planted in your imagination, and he should sleep and rise. Sleep and rise. And he knoweth the seed should spring up. And he knows not how. It doesn't matter how you get there. Just get there.
That's
I mean, God has different ways to get you to different places. God has different ways to get things into your hand. But if you don't ever imagine them, and look, forget what they're saying. You have a right to daydream about your success.
Yes. Yes.
I ain't trying to hear that when people say you think about it too much. Yes, I do.
No.
I do think about it. I do think about, I do think about being rich. I do. I think about it. I imagine. I imagine what I do.
Nah. Hello.
I imagine how I feel. Do your imagination, you know your imagination is so powerful that it can place you in a place where you feel all the emotions like you're actually there. You cannot ever get to that place if it's not planted as a seed in your imagination. God gave us our imagination. He gave us our imagination as a starting point into the supernatural. Every person that God used, used their imagination. Every last one of them used their imagination. Because without your imagination, there's nothing for God to work with. That's what desires are. Desires are imagination. You're a part of your imagination. The Bible says he'll give you what? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
So if you ain't desiring nothing, he'll give you
nothing.
Are you seeing this? So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to imagine yourself living in your house, that your dream house. Don't be afraid of, you know, you got this business you want. Don't be afraid of imagining it. Will the business ever come to fruition? Mm-hmm. See, that's what people of faith, we have an issue with. We figure, watch this. We figure that if we put our faith on something, that I'm trying to find the right way to say it. If we put our faith on something, that we got to save face to make it happen. But sometimes God will have us reaching for something to get us started and take us someplace better.
Amen.
Are you seeing this? But God just wants to get us to moving. Get us to moving. You know, endurance is a very important word. Endurance. Endurance allows us to learn the lessons needed to learn to go to the next level. People with no endurance don't do nothing. They start a little while and they quit. They start a little while and they quit. So how can I, if you're not doing nothing, you're not learning nothing. If you're not going after God, you can't ever find out who he is. See, in order to accomplish something, you got to be doing something. After a while, you'll figure out if I'm doing it the right way or not, which will cause you to change what you're doing. But if you don't have any endurance to go through sometimes failure, to go through, I didn't get exactly what I want. But when you're going through that, it gives you opportunity to learn what to do and what not to do. So your imagination, watch this, listen, watch this. Your imagination gives you a picture to go after. Will you attain that picture? I don't know. But you ain't going to attain it just sitting here ain't doing nothing. God, here's what you know. Here's what we know by ourselves. We know about ourselves where we are right now. That's what we know about ourselves. That's what we know. But you never understand your potential until you start moving. Are y'all seeing this? Drain it, train it, and expand it. This is why apostles sometimes be blowing people away. This is why some people get angry, but I love it when he talks about what God is doing for him. Because I don't have to keep referring to Job. I don't have to keep referring to Abraham. I don't have to keep referring to Solomon, David. I want to keep referring to them. This is somebody that I see in my time. And God is not a respecter of person. Man, I may not attain all that apostle has. But if I get one quarter, I ain't doing bad. Do you see by what a picture is? Amen. See, don't let your imagination go to where you can accomplish it. Don't let your imagination go just far enough for you to accomplish it. Let your imagination go so far that you know if God don't tell me how to do this, I ain't gonna accomplish one tenth of this. Which now you put it so, now you're saying, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Amen. Amen. How does God help our unbelief? By getting involved in our situation and doing something about it. Amen. Are you seeing this? So I was reading, again, man, it was an excellent principle he had. He said the times 10 rule. Whatever it is, multiply it by 10. Whatever it may be. If you wanted 10 pairs of shoes, now you want 100. Can you wear 100 shoes? I don't know if you can wear 100 shoes. Don't matter. I don't know if you can wear 100 shoes. I don't know. But if you get 50, can you wear 50? I don't know. I just want them. And you ain't hurting nobody by getting them. Because there's enough for everybody. Are y'all seeing this? So you have to begin to start training. So you have to drain it, train it, and expand it. An untrained imagination is nothing more than Satan stopping our potential. Because if you don't use your imagination, he will. So I want you to begin to drain it, train it, and expand it. The car you want, it probably is out your budget. Probably is. But what's wrong with going to sit in it? What's wrong? Yeah. Nothing. Because once you get a picture for it, you never know what God may do. You never know what may happen. Drain it. Now, you know what I mean by expand, right? Expand means begin to expose yourself that makes you uncomfortable. That's how expansion takes place. Expansion does not take place in a moment of comfort. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. I tell you a great example of expansion. I'm closing here. Great example of expansion. The Lord began to talk to him about another aircraft. And so we had looked at some aircrafts, and we flew all the way out to California to look at a Challenger 600. We walked onto the plane, and I was like, this is a nice plane. It was intercontinental, meaning it can go across seas. Nice plane. But Montrell had to go back to get Apostle glasses off of the aircraft we flew up there to see it. Montrell came back. Montrell said, Daddy, you know what? This plane ain't much bigger than the plane we got. So Daddy got up. He said, because watch this. When you spend time with the face of God, you can recognize the voice of God. So when Montrell spoke, he recognized that was God talking. Montrell didn't recognize it. I didn't recognize it, but he recognized it. See, that's the beautiful thing about God. God could be speak a statement through somebody, and the only one God wants to be illuminated, the one he touched to be illuminated. You got me? So we got off the plane, and the power pilot was like, man, that's a, Dr. Thomas, this is a nice plane. This is just a great deal. And I said, this is not the plane. And he told the one pilot, he said, Mike was his name. He said, Mike, the Holy Spirit gonna find our plane. And we walked over, flew back home. Oh, it had to be 8 or 9 months later. Mike called and said, hey, Leroy Jr. got a plane that you might want to go look at. It's a Falcon, the one we have now, Falcon 900. So man, Dad said, yeah, let's go look at it. So man, we flew to Springfield, Massachusetts. And man, we walked into this hangar and seen this plane. And this thing was huge. And so I looked at the plane. I looked at my daddy. I said, you sure you want this plane? We laugh at it right now. I said, you sure you want this plane? He said, let's go and walk on it and look at it. So man, we walking on it and looking at it. And I'm looking around, he's like, you sure you want this plane? When we got back on the plane to fly back home, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him what price to give, what to do, and how to do it. If we had not gone seen it, go to see that plane, get a picture of it, God would have never given him instructions on what to do. And I mean, I don't have time to go into details, but what had happened was totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous how it happened. So the how is not important. It's the what. Don't worry about the how. Just train your imagination, and let it be expanded. And let God do the rest. Y'all have a good night.